0289 033 105, the U105 phone in. Frank Mitchell here until the middle of the day, and we'd love your company. And we have the company this morning of Jimmy DeLargy, who will be talking to us about Brexit, because today is a really unusual day. I can't remember a day like this ever before. And I'm sure, Jimmy, you could advise me on when similar things have happened in the past. But this is a really unusual day at Parliament, isn't it?
It does seem pretty extraordinary, there's no doubt about it. I don't know whether it has any precedent, but it certainly, I can't recall anything remotely like what's happening. I know, Frank, you like a sporting metaphor, and I suppose the best way of characterising what happens today is we're going to have the group stages this afternoon, this evening, with the playoffs on Monday. And by that I mean you referred there to all these different proposals coming up. Well, initially, Speaker Bercow reduces them from 16, perhaps, to 6. Nobody quite knows. They'll be voted on today. And it's a straightforward yes or no. I'll get into the detail in a second, but just to go to the mechanics of it, there'll be yes or no, and of course, people presumably can abstain on them, but they won't be eliminated like as you might have in terms of voting here in Northern Ireland, where, you know, if you get the person with the lowest number of votes, then they're eliminated. It's not going to happen like that. All the proposals that are selected will be voted on, the yes or no, and the figures calculated. And then on Monday, those that are most popular will then come up for voting again. So that's the way it's going to work. So we're not going to have a crucial decision, but by, I suppose, between 7 and 9, we should know. The debate starts at 2, but by between 7 and 9, we will have an idea of what MPs favour most. And an important thing to say at the outset is that no matter what the MPs do, this is not legally binding on Theresa May. She could say, well, I hear what you all have to say, and it's very interesting, but I tell you what, I'm going to press on with another meaningful vote on my withdrawal deal. But that, I suppose, the thing about that is it would look pretty anti-democratic. So you would imagine that whatever the MPs come up with will have some influence, at the very least, on what she does, whether she will perhaps take it and try and, you know, look for a long extension, and during the time she would then add in this new element into it. Now, what I mean by that, now let's get down to the nitty-gritty. I mean, people want to stay in the customs union. Some people want to stay in the customs union permanently. Of course, the backstop includes the customs union, but that's only for a temporary period. I mean, that eventually will come to an end in the existing withdrawal agreement, but some people want a permanent customs union. Now, you could go back, couldn't be done straight away. You'd have to revisit the withdrawal agreement, but you could, over a period of time, change it and ensure that in fact the plans include us staying for, if you like, ever in the customs union. It might even be possible, I'm not sure, the beginning of the mechanics, it might even be possible to do that subsequently, but that's one of the things that might, as it were, commend itself to her. But then straightforwardly, there are people going to vote to revoke Article 50. What does that mean? Well, that means just cancel the whole thing and we stay in the EU. Some people want a no deal. They're just saying, let's just crash out in a couple of weeks' time. Let's have no more of this. Carry on. We should have crashed out, should have left by tomorrow. Let's do it in a couple of weeks' time. So you can see there's a whole range of options coming up for grabs this afternoon.
There are a whole range, and they're incredibly complicated. And as you say, there's about 16 that'll be narrowed down to 6 or 7. But the crucial bit of this, correct me if I'm wrong, with regards to Theresa May, is that she's still hoping that she'll win out in the end. And she might, if indeed the feeling generally is that there's a softening of the terminology or the description of what Brexit is from these MPs. And those who want Brexit hook, line and sinker, they might think, well, the only option is to go with Theresa May because it could end up being a far softer Brexit or no Brexit at all. So could she win out in the end on that score?
Yeah, that was summed up by Jacob Rees-Mogg this morning on the radio when he said, you know, half a loaf is better than no bread. And he is clearly minded to support the deal that he's castigated and basically said is pretty useless. And now he's beginning to think that, you know what, it may not be a great deal. Still doesn't like it. He's quite open about the fact that he doesn't like it. But he is now coming round to, as you say, supporting the deal because he is fearing that the alternative, again, as you've indicated, could be a very soft Brexit, so soft that you might as well not leave the EU at all, or indeed no Brexit at all. But how many of those hardline Brexiteers are now softening their position to the point where they will support Theresa May's deal and she would get it across the line? Well, even Jacob Rees-Mogg is saying that he is going to listen very carefully to what the DUP, I think he described them something as the guardians of the union, and he's giving pretty much an indication that if they were still against Theresa May's withdrawal agreement, then he wouldn't support it. Again, you have Boris Johnson, who's been very anti the deal, but Boris Johnson's a different point. He's basically saying that he might be minded to support the deal if in the second stage there was a different approach taken, which people take code for, if Theresa May gets out of the way, we'll accept this deal, we'll work with it, get it across the line, and then only on condition that she just disappears from the scene and we adopt a new negotiating strategy for the next stage. But you can see, just as you've indicated, that those people who were absolutely, totally against the deal, voting against it on several occasions, are now, and disparaging it at every opportunity, are now beginning to think, do you know what? This deal is better than no Brexit at all.
And the DUP, where are they standing at this moment in time? It's hard to nail the DUP on this. For like people who associate with non-drinking, they seem to be in the malt house.
The malt house. Yes, the Malthouse plan. I think that the DUP, I look, frankly, I'm not quite sure, because the DUP, Sammy Wilson seemed to take a very uncompromising position, and then they put out a statement saying that, you know, it's their position hasn't changed. I think that the DUP is not going to accept any proposal, and the current proposal does include, if you like, at a border down the Irish Sea, if you want to put it like that. I think they'll find it very difficult to retreat. From a position that they have adopted. And I think what's far more important to the DUP and to their voters is not so much the ability to sign free trade deals, not so much what our relationship with the EU is, but mostly and mainly and absolutely crucially, securing the union, having nothing which suggests that Northern Ireland is a place apart from the rest of the UK. And I think that any deal that comes up, and it doesn't really matter, let's not talk about the May deal, because other deals might well imply some difference between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK. For instance, the Customs Union plan might necessarily include the whole of the UK staying in the single market. Now, at that point, you can imagine the Brussels saying, well, that's great. We are very pleased you want to stay in the customs union full time. That's like Turkey, by the way. We're really happy with that. But, you know, this wee problem where you want to leave the single market, well, Northern Ireland has to stay in the single market. We want that under the backstop, the new backstop, which we're going to agree with you. But, of course, if you get a trade deal further on down the line, which eliminates the need for the backstop, we'll be only too happy to do it. So the point about it is that the DUP's position or criticism of the withdrawal agreement could extend to some of these other options. So I think they're coming at it from a completely different point of view, and I'm not quite sure how they will. I think they'll be watching and seeing how best they can protect the union now.
And they feel that they can protect the union with Malthouse because it would be some sort of technology border.
Well, the Malthouse, I think, was described by someone in Brussels as the Madhouse scheme. They just don't see how the Malthouse scheme would work. So, I mean, I think of all the various proposals, not all of them, but certainly the Malthouse scheme is one of the proposals which is not going to fly because the EU is not going to wear it. So it doesn't really matter if in fact 600 MPs vote for the Malthouse plan, which they won't, of course, this afternoon. It's not going to fly because it's a non-runner. It's the one of the unicorn plans that people say it's unreal. It's not going to be. It's not going to find favour with the EU. So what's the point? You're almost like, why bother? That actually somehow slightly surprises me. Why is anybody putting forward a proposal now? Revoke Article 50, a crash out, all these things that the EU could live with. Might be very happy, of course, with the revoke Article 50 that is staying in the EU. But the Malthouse plan, it's a non-runner, so I don't really think it matters what support it gets. It's not going to fly.
Yeah, and they can revoke Article 50 without any say from the EU anyway, can't they? They can just do
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Yeah. True. Absolutely true. They don't. The EU, it doesn't require any approval. They could just say, sorry, it's all been a terrible mistake. We're revoking Article 50 and we're going to continue to stay within the EU and everybody be happy with that. But the other proposals...
when you say everybody would be happy with them, 17.4 million people wouldn't be happy with it.
That's right. Freudian slip there, Frank. Freudian slip.
Exactly. Let's remember who won this referendum.
Exactly.
Jamie, exactly. It is a complex day. There's no question. Listening to what you're saying there, and by Monday, after the group stages, great analogy. The group stages today, the playoffs on Monday. By Monday, do you think we're going to have some clear light at the end of the tunnel?
I don't know. I would like to think that there would be some proposal that would emerge that would command the support of the House of Commons. But I mean, I think I mentioned to you there was one MP there last week, but we don't even know there's a majority for anything. I sort of suspect, and this is just my best guess, that what will emerge will be some that will command most support. Because one of the things why the Labour Party has not been swinging around and supporting and lending support to Theresa May's deal, even though I think some of the MPs might be in favour of it, is that they weren't brought into the negotiations. They weren't brought in. They were never properly consulted. I don't mean the negotiations with the EU, but I mean when things were being formulated in Parliament, they weren't properly consulted in their view. Now they are getting a chance, and I suspect that a fair number of Labour MPs will swing in and support a form of Brexit which is softer than what is currently on the table with the withdrawal agreement. And I do believe that you will have Brexit. I don't think there is really enough support. There is enough people who feel, even those who voted to stay in the EU, who feel that, do you know what, it's time to tear up the whole thing. A fair number of people, 5 million, vindicated, maybe I think it's up close to 6 million, have indicated that they want to stay in the EU, but still a majority voted to stay. It's nearly 3 years ago, voted to leave the EU, and I think that will be respected. But ultimately, I think what we're going to get, to sum up, is a softer Brexit and proposal, and Theresa may well weigh in behind that. She will if she can, and then or it might be forced upon her, or she might be gone, and that's the thing that will see the light of day. And we will leave the EU, but it will be stay in the customs union, but very close relationship with a single market. It's going to look maybe something not too different from what we have today. But you could say that we are out of the EU. That will be a fact, and there will be probably curbs on immigration. So there will be differences, but it won't be as dramatic even as the withdrawal agreement envisages, as it were.
Okay, Jamie, thank you very much indeed. 7 o'clock to nine tonight. I was going to say anoraks, absolutely not. I would say a vast majority of people will be keeping a very close eye on what happens at a Parliament when those results are being announced and being analysed. Jamie De Largey, thank you indeed. Jamie did mention there that almost 6 million people with this petition for a second referendum. We've discussed this on the programme before. Just before you start inundating me with calls, we do accept that you can vote more than once in that particular online petition. That has been proven. Whether people are bothering to do that or not, I'm not so sure, but the 6 million may not be as accurate a figure as those promoting it would suggest. Right, 22 minutes past nine. How's the form with you this morning? This is the U105 phone-in.